7.
The Beat of Sports, Martin Daniels on this Wednesday. We mentioned earlier promoting our next guest last week, Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, arguably the most powerful guy in college sports, made the statement about the NCAA basketball tournament. Maybe we ought to reevaluate, you know, the format and the amount of teams, and now we pick teams. And there are a lot of people that were pretty passionate about his statement, like, wait a minute, why mess with something that seems to be working? One of our best college basketball writers, Mike DeCourcy at the Sporting News, is a piece out, and Mike is kind to join us and chat a little bit. Mike, good morning. How are you? Welcome back.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Mike, you know where I want to start? First, we'll get to the Greg Sankey story, but as a man that appreciates great soccer, can you share your thoughts on the handshake heard around the world this past weekend with Tottenham and Chelsea?
Yes, this is why I've written many times about the ceremonial post-game handshake in college basketball and why I just can't stand it, because it's just it's this choreographed thing that you have to do. And then when you don't do it right, then you get this. You know, Thomas Tuchel, the Chelsea manager, decided that Conte, the Tottenham manager, didn't look him in the eye when he was shaking his hand. It was the classic blow-by.
Yeah.
And they don't blow by in technically in Premier League soccer, because you're both going different directions instead of going past one another to shake other hands. So it was more like I don't know what you call it. I think we need a term for that, when you kind of just shake the hands. It's more of the blow off, I guess. And so then they started a little ruckus there, and it was interesting, but it distracted from the fact that Chelsea got a raw deal with some really poor officiating.
You mean it's not okay to pull the hair down? Game. You can't pull somebody down by the hair? That's not okay?
I remember, I think somebody grabbed Troy Polamalu's hair back in the
day.
And it was like, hey, you know, man, it's fair game in football. But it's not really like that in soccer. That's not how it goes.
All right, let's get to the Greg Sankey comment. Just give me your 40,000 feet above view when you heard Greg Sankey say, hey, maybe it's time for us to take a look at this. What was your initial thought?
Well, that was really the second time we'd heard about this. Because there was an initial conversation reported by Jeff Goodman of the Field of 68 podcast network that he had spoken to privately to the Division I Council, the NCAA Division I Council, and had raised the possibility of eliminating automatic bids, the champions of various conferences, whether it be the SEC or the Atlantic Sun, would not receive automatic bids to the championship. And that did not go over well at all. I mean, he was universally renounced for that suggestion. And so by the time he spoke publicly to Pat Forty of Sports Illustrated, now it was more about expanding the field. And neither of those suggestions is necessary or positive. Expanding the field would not make the NCAA or its members more money. It doesn't need another 4, 5, 6, 8 games, however many, to get more money. What it really needs to get more money is simply to be in the current environment, negotiating a deal. Unfortunately for the NCAA, 4 or 5 years ago, somewhere in there, Mark Emmert decided to extend the NCAA television contract with Turner and CBS. And it pays a lot, and it pays, you know, it's not a bad deal, don't get me wrong, but it's a bad deal relative to what they could get if they were selling it now. They could get, they're going to, starting in 2025, cross the $1 billion a year threshold for March Madness. And that's a big number. And for 3 weeks of basketball, 67 games, that's a truckload.
Right.
But they could get even more if they were able to do it now. And they won't be able to do it until, you know, they'll be able to negotiate probably around 2030, but they won't be able to start a new deal until 2033. So there's nothing about expanding the field that's going to raise more money. It's just about getting a bigger share of the money for the SEC. Really? I mean, is that what we need? Do I have any problem with it if the SEC starts playing great hoops and or better hoops, I should say, than they are now, which is great hoops, and starts getting nine bids like the Big Ten has gotten the last few years? Not at all. I mean, earn them, though. You don't need 80 teams so you can make it so that everybody that can bounce a ball three times in a row without falling down gets in the field.
He brought up the Ole Miss comparison, and I don't like the comparison of the basketball format to the baseball format. Well, yes, it's 64 teams. We're talking 16 four-team regionals, and it's a little bit different. He said, hey, look, Ole Miss was the last team in. Well, you know, that's selective. Selecting something you know is going to kind of favor you there, but I don't like the comparison. You wrote about that in your piece. It's not exactly ideal to use that as a comparison.
In some ways, it's offensive. To those who are deeply involved in the sport of college basketball, it's honestly offensive because it shows a dismissal of the sport in some ways. Baseball and basketball are much different games to begin with. I mean, if you have a great pitcher and a great closer, you can go a long way in a tournament setting in like the College World Series or the tournament that precedes it. But even more so, the sports are entirely different in this aspect. When John Calipari and the Kentucky Wildcats went out against St. Peter's and went into overtime and lost, wouldn't they have loved to have a second chance to play? I mean, that's how it works in baseball. You lose, you don't lose and go home. You lose, and then you get another chance. And if you lose again, then you go home.
Right.
They don't have double elimination in the NCAA tournament. So Ole Miss's championship, it's totally different just in that respect. And I pointed out in the piece that, I mean, if you got the seventh best gymnast in the world, and you put her up against Simone Biles, and Simone Biles had a above average day, the seventh best gymnast in the world could have the best day she'll ever have and not beat Simone Biles. Whereas in football, I get the 17th team that has no chance of being in any playoff, and they got and they have no chance of winning any playoff if they were involved. It's just different sports. A championship in a college football playoff is going to come from one of the first 5-6 teams at best. But in basketball, you can get hot or get the right breaks or get better, and you can win from what UConn did in 2011, which was, I guess, basically about the 12th or 13th position, or in 2014 when they won from the 25th or 26th position. That can happen in basketball, but you're not going to see ever the 38th team win. That we've never come close to that.
But Mike, you probably saw the story that the president of Florida Gulf Coast was even quoted saying he kind of wonders about the automatic bid. And it's been buzz, you know this better than me, that, hey, maybe, you know, we don't take away the small conference bid, but maybe instead of winning six, we have a little qualifying round for them, and we take X number of conferences and make them have to play one or two extra games. Is that inevitable because of what we're watching in football have a trickle-down effect on basketball?
I don't think it's inevitable because, look, if Sankey isn't able to get the other, and I don't know how many are in his club right now.
Right.
I mean, there's at least one. So he can't, you know, he'd have to get at least one to go along with him. And I'm not sure that you would ever get the Big Ten to go along with that. I think their history in the tournament is too profound. Jim Delaney was a very important figure in the NCAA tournament and in men's basketball for years as someone who played the sport at the University of North Carolina on significant teams. The game means a lot to him. And so I think their history would say, no, we'll stick with what this is. It makes a bunch of money, and it's perfect artistically, so to speak. Now, could I see the bigger schools arguing for a bigger share of the money that's generated? Yes. And do I have any problem with that? Not at all, because that's what negotiations are about. That's what business, so to speak, is about. So if the SEC said we want more money for the units that we gather, I could see that, and I wouldn't have a problem with it, as long as it was in keeping at least with their peers. And again, I don't know whether their peer group is only the Big Ten or the rest of the Power Five or the rest of the Power Five and the Big East. I don't really know who all would get into that cohort. But I don't think there's any cause for spoiling what is really, as it stands now, a perfect format.
Mike, as part of this, you bring it upon yourself. The SEC goes to 16 for now. The Big Ten's gone to 16 for now. And the argument is, hey, we're going to beat each other up, so my 16 and 14 team is better than your mid-major, and it's part of its process to campaign. Although, as you wrote, play better, and the system is such that you'd be rewarded, whether, you know, now using net instead of RPI, that you'd be rewarded that way, and no one told you to grow your league that big where someone is going to always finish 12th and 16th.
Well, those teams are always good. You guys go to 16, and somebody's finishing 16th. That's just math,
right?
And I ain't good at it, but that's math. But here's the thing. I mean, performance trumps everything. The only time we have had a 16-team power conference to date, I mean, we will in the future have it in the Big Ten and SEC, but the only one to date has been the Big East from, I believe it was 2007 until 2013. They averaged 8 bids a year in that period of time because, again, they played great basketball, they had great teams, great coaches, and they won significant games. So it worked, and they averaged 8, and in 2011, they got 11 teams into the field. That's a huge number. The Big Ten, since 2018, they only got 4 because they didn't perform. But the following year, they changed their league schedule to 20 games, which eliminated some of the lesser games they were playing and that were dragging them down. As well as improving their non-league schedules, as well as playing better, and they got 8, which at that point was a record. The following year, had there been a tournament, they probably would have gotten 10. The minimum would have been 9, but they probably would have gotten 10. And in 2021 and 22, when we were back to actually having the tournament, they got 9 each year. So it just really comes down to you. If you play well enough and play well enough against the right teams, you're going to get 8, 9, 10 teams as well. And that's, you know, for the SEC's already shown that they get it. From 2012, I think, to 2016, right around there, they were getting 3.5 bids a year. There were 3 seasons where they only got 3 out of their whether they had at that point 12. Maybe I can't remember when they expanded to add Mizzou, but mm-hmm. I guess they were at 14 then. So they were getting 3 teams. But then they hired Dan Leibovitz, they hired Mike Trangese as a consultant, they changed the way they scheduled, a bunch of good coaches came into the league, but like Bruce Pearl, and they started to win more games, and they got more bids, and they're almost at 7 now on average. They're just short of that.
It
just really comes down to performance.
Two final questions. Again, Mike DeCourcy is with us at the Sporting News, but check out his piece about the NCAA tournament, Greg Sankey's comments. I know you have an appreciation of history of this game, and we talked about the expansion of these conferences, and now we're going to watch USC and UCLA play conference games at Maryland and Rutgers and vice versa. Does it impact the product? I mean, again, I think college sports looked at traditions and in some ways spit on some of them. We still have some left, but what do you make of now a conference that will stretch across the country like that? And certainly the travel is... It's what it is, and we don't have many rivalries with these new schools coming in, but what's the impact in college basketball of this?
Yeah, I don't think it really has a huge impact. I think there will be some minor impact. I think the travel is overstated a bit because it does take, you know, 4 hours or 3.5 to go from one coast to the other, and that's a lot. But, you know, my nephew is a Division III football coach, and he just got a new job. He went from a school in North Carolina to Wilkes University in Pennsylvania. It's Division III, and he was so excited because when he was at St. Andrews in North Carolina, he used to have 13, 14-hour bus rides. And now they've got no bus ride longer than, like, 3 hours. And so that was one of, you know, there were a lot of reasons he wanted the job, but that was a nice little fringe benefit. And so, you know, when we talk about UCLA to Rutgers or USC to Maryland, it's a lot easier for them to make that trip than it is for the St. Andrews football team to make a 13-hour bus ride.
And finally, the most important question outside the handshake around the world is, Kentucky a basketball school or football school, Mike?
You know, that I found that really interesting. I it's one of those things where is water wet? I mean, of course they're a basketball school. I did think John made an error in his oratory when he said, we're a basketball school. He should have stopped there. But instead, he sort of started citing those that are football schools, and they, of course, are Alabama, Georgia, play in Kentucky's conference. So it sort of made Kentucky look a little bit diminished by comparison, and I think that probably was the button that he pushed that was not wise to push.
The great Mike DeCourcy is on Twitter at TSN Mike. You can check him out there, get the link to the story that he just wrote and all the other great things that he covers. Good catching up, Mike. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Mike DeCourcy, the sporting news. Like, I started off with soccer. He's got a great passion for soccer.
He does, right? Yes.
There. He loves it, so I mm-hmm. went down that. I didn't mention I'm a Tottenham fan. Had no problem with the hair pull down and Antonio Conte barking back. So I, you know, have to defend our boys there.
I figured you were asking him the Christian Pulisic question.
Well, that's Man U's latest. Let's go get that guy. Let's go get that guy.
And this guy on our team? Yeah, you can go do whatever you want.
Yeah, I think Man U is going to start signing live golfers this week. They're just getting anybody. Yeah. 11 o'clock hour. It's got a movie Wednesday. We've got a history lesson also, which we normally do on Thursdays, but I'm out tomorrow because of the UCF football kickoff lunch, and Mike Tuck will be in. And it all kicks off with whatever Scott does, that whole open thing with the news. Next.